Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
In Japan, you're actually going to have to pay to borrow money now. Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne. Happy Tuesday, and thanks for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. Imagine that. You go to your bank to borrow money and the interest rate is negative. Well, that's what it was like if you were taking out a loan in Japan. But that's changed now because today its central bank put up borrowing costs for the first time since 2007. The key interest rate went up from minus 0.1% to a range of 0 to 0.1%. Let's get more from the BBC's Suranjana Tiwari.
It dates back to 2013 when the central bank tried to jumpstart economic growth and inflation after decades of stagnant activity and prices. And of course, Japan is the fourth largest economy, so there is a lot of fallout on the global economy. Japan had a very different problem from most of the economies around the world. It had deflation, where prices don't rise. Now, Japan's inflation is around 2%, and that's allowed companies to also increase wages.
So is this good news for the economy and consumers?
Well, it's not that the economy is doing that amazingly. Yes, the inflation problem seems to have been solved, but it's a very fragile economic recovery still. And that will force the central bank to go slowly in any further rises going forward. Let me allow you to hear from an expert whether this decision is good or bad for the Japanese economy. Earlier, we spoke to Nobuko Kobayashi. She's a partner at EY.
Consumers will feel the change through the change that commercial banks make on short-term prime rate, and it will be felt in multiple dimensions. On one, the savings side, Japanese people may see the interest rate go up on their savings account, so that's a good news. On the other hand, however, for the borrowing front, people may see their interest payment go up if they have, say, a variable rate mortgage payment.
So there you have it from Nobuko Kobayashi, who's a partner at EY. Basically, a mixed effect on Japan's economy. The stakes are really high, though. Japan's put a lot of stimulus into the economy and therefore has a huge public debt, which is actually twice the size of its economy and is the largest amongst advanced economies in the world. There's also the issue of the currency. The yen has fallen sharply, which has pushed up the cost of imports and also a really heightened public criticism over Japan's decision to have ultra low interest rates. Of course, the gap between those really low interest rates, which are still extremely low at the moment, they're just between 0 and 0.1%, even with this decision today. And the gulf between those rates and the very high interest rates over in the US, which really impacts lots of companies, exporters, importers, is really wide. And that is going to have a big effect on the global economy for a long time.
Suranjana Tiwari there. Now, what's the outlook in the coming months for the future of rate hikes there? Here's the BBC's Mariko Oi.
It is the first time in 17 years, and it is very significant in the Japanese context. It's almost nothing compared to the rest of the world. A lot of questions were asked when the Bank of Japan's chair was holding a press conference. You know, would there be any more rate hikes? And it sounds like he's signaling that not immediately, because the Japanese economy is still very volatile. You know, it has been growing, but not that strongly. So as a result, it is still a very tricky balancing act for the Bank of Japan.
That was Mariko Oi. Now let's get the reaction to that story and do the numbers. Japan's Topix closed up 1% and the Nikkei closed up 0.6%. Meanwhile, Unilever, that's the company that makes lots of our household products like Hellmann's and Dove, is splitting off its ice cream business in a move that will affect 7,500 of its workers. Now, recently, we've been covering the doctor's strike in South Korea. Today, the country's president, Yoon Suk-yeol, expressed frustration at the month-long walkout. He says it's necessary to boost the numbers of doctors and says that medical licenses should not be used as a tool against the people. However, junior doctors feel it will affect their training and pay. They've been threatened with arrest and having their licenses to practice revoked, but strikes are continuing. I really find that the streaming industry is usually concerned with either consolidation or expansion. And in Africa, it's no different because while Amazon Prime is scaling back, the African streaming service Showmax is making huge investments in original African-made content. The BBC's Aaron Akinyemi reports.
Just remember, in my school, nothing goes unpunished.
Lights off for eight. No.
This is a scene from Youngins, a new high school drama from African streaming service Showmax, which is vying to become the continent's biggest streaming platform, rivaling Netflix.
Welcome to Edifan's Plantain,
the jungle.
The South African drama series revolves around a group of young friends figuring out life, love, and sex at the fictional boarding school Olifantsfontein High. The show's director Tembe Mfebi and actress Kaliboha Masongo, who plays the role of head girl Bule, explain more.
It follows Amu, who is this young girl who's lived a very closeted life. She goes to Joburg after some unfortunate circumstances and joins this very wild public school.
I would describe the show as captivating, relatable, fresh, but like South African fresh.
Youngins is one of 21 new original African series released by Showmax and forms part of its ambitious strategy to expand its market share in the African subscription video on demand space. While other global streaming giants such as Amazon Prime are scaling back investment and cutting jobs in Africa, Showmax is doing the exact opposite. The company CEO Mark Jury told me that the streaming platform is ramping up production and boosting its roster of African-made productions tailor-made for African audiences.
You know, it runs into billions of rands in terms of the investment. Just over 2 years ago, we've come together with Comcast and there's been a significant investment in terms of a longer-term strategy. And that strategy really focuses on making it effortless for people across the African continent to access and afford the stories that they love.
Showmax's competitor Netflix is also steadily expanding its African presence. Between 2016 and 2022, the company invested $175 million in South Africa, Nigeria and Kenya. That's roughly £139 million. Netflix also says it has created around 12,000 jobs in Africa. I asked the director of Youngins if he's noticed an increase in African-made streaming programming.
Yes, definitely. I see a huge boom in African content. Now we have access to cameras, to the fancy lights. And I think Africa right now, technically, can match the international community toe-to-toe.
Showmax plans to launch more than 1,300 hours of original programming over the next 12 months. And that represents a 150% increase in production output compared to the year before. The company was launched in 2015 by Pan-African entertainment giant MultiChoice, which also owns one of the continent's biggest pay TV operators, DStv. It operates in 44 sub-Saharan countries and will unveil its first original series in Ethiopia and Tanzania later this year.
I'm the BBC's Aaron Akinyemi for Marketplace.
And I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.